Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. And to share with you before we take some time to be in celebrating around the table. You know, we hear a lot about peace, the song that we just sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you notice, the word peace was in there a couple of different times. And there's usually a lot of peace that is talked about at Christmas time, but not always experienced at Christmas time. I think about the little children's programs. We've been involved in some of those little children's programs, and the little kids, very adorable, get up and they're dressed up in their angel outfits. We all know that they aren't angels at home, but somehow they look like angels when they're in those little outfits. And they say together, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." And we hear those Christmas carols, whether it be Hark the Herald Angels Sing or In Silent Night, Sleep in Heavenly Peace. Yet for many people, Christmas is anything but peaceful. They have a lot of anticipation. We have anticipation in the Levy household regarding Christmas, but there's usually a lot of chaos before there is cosmos in our house as we uproot all the lights and all the things and decorations to get ready for that peaceful time. And there's usually the rude crowds. Let me ask, how many of you ventured to go out that day after Thanksgiving? Okay, I see those hands. Yes. I did not go out. My family did. I didn't go out. I stayed home and battled the children as we were watching our daughter or our sister-in-law's children as well. But you got the rude crowds and the last-minute shopping. And now, you know, it seems as though everything is moving toward that fast thing of getting ready for Christmas. You know, the calendar here at 4th is probably the busiest. December and May are the two busiest months out of the year with so many things that are filled in there, whether there be concerts or parties, family get-togethers, spending time with maybe family members. Maybe some of you are even looking to those events that you'll be spending time with maybe some family members, where maybe there's even some strained relationships. And a family get-together is not even a peaceful thought because you're knowing what is up ahead. We have people that overuse their credit cards. And then they think, I'm going to get that bonus. And then the bonus doesn't come, and we've already spent the money ahead of time that we thought we were going to get. And he said, "Dave, this doesn't sound very peaceful, what you're sharing with us." And many times Christmas isn't very peaceful. It's very stressful and very overwhelming. I think sometimes people look at Christmas as the once cure-all. This Christmas, we're going to be happy, whether we like it or not. And people want peace. They want to be able to sleep at night. They want to be able to get along with those people around them. They want to eliminate all that internal noise that is within their minds. They want to be relaxed and calm. As I have on your little outline there, that's called internal peace. And we all long for that internal peace. But that internal peace can be like the chasing after wind. But an internal peace is a result of two other kinds of peace. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Those two other kinds of peace that will give us that internal peace. Peace with God and peace with others. Before we look at those, would you pause with me for a word of prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you for the birth of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that even as we sang the song, as the reminder there from Luke 2, that the Savior has been born, the Deliverer has been born to give us peace. Father, I ask that you would help us as we would talk about peace with you and peace with others, in order that we may experience internal peace. Father, I ask that you and your Son, Jesus Christ, would be lifted up. And Father, that your Holy Word combined with your Holy Spirit would do a work in us that no human being could ever do. I ask, Father, that I would not get in the way of what you want to accomplish. But Father, may I be a useful channel in which you may be able to speak your words to your people. And then as we prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually for what we are about to do in remembering what your Son Jesus Christ did for us, Father, may these words be an encouragement to your people. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning and celebrating Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Inner peace, result of two other kinds of peace. That first kind of peace is peace with God. Make the blanket statement, God is at war with mankind. Now, we usually don't like to think of that, and it's not a nice, positive way to begin a message, but that is the reality. God is holy and cannot tolerate sin, and sin must be punished. We all know the verse. Well, I should not say that. We all know the verse, but the verse is very clear in the scriptures in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of what God expects of the glory of God. We all got a nature that we got from a guy by the name of Adam in the garden. God told Adam, of all these trees you could freely eat, but there's one tree you cannot eat of. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Adam willingly chose to disobey God. And because of Adam's disobedience, sin came into the world. And not only did sin come into Adam's and his wife's life, but it came upon every individual. Every single person is born now with a sin nature. We don't have to teach our little children how to be selfish. We don't even have to teach ourselves how to be selfish. We do it naturally. Why? Because we got this nature from Adam. And that sin that we have must be paid. Romans 6:23 reminds us very powerfully, for the wages of sin is death. There is a payment for sin. We work our jobs, whether our 40, 50 hours during the week, and at the end of our week or 2 weeks, we get a paycheck. That's what we deserve. That's what we have worked for. The scripture says, because of our sin and all that we have done as sinners, we deserve death. And death there means separation from God forever. I've heard an illustration to kind of picture this whole idea of separation from God and the amount of our sin. Think about this idea that if we were to sin three times a day, sin with our thoughts, we're thinking things we shouldn't think, sin with our words, saying things that we should not say, and sin with our actions, doing things we shouldn't do. A very low ball figure, three sins a day. Maybe some of us do more. Maybe I do more. But if we did three sins a day, that'd be 1,000 in a year, 70 years. They say the average lifespan, maybe it's going higher, 70,000 sins. Now think about this for a moment, 70,000 sins. Imagine if somebody went into Hennepin County, standing before a county judge, and he's got the record there, 70,000 offenses to the law. What would we expect that judge to do? Throw the book at him. Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Our holy God must punish sin. Sin has got to be punished. John 3:36 states, our condition before a holy God is that God's wrath is on us. I am stating all of this for us to get this picture that God is at war with mankind. God was at war with me. God was at war with you. But God didn't want that to be. God wanted to have a relationship, a peaceful relationship. He did not want to be at war with man, but he wanted a peaceful relationship. And the problem is there was no way that man could come up to God. Man tries to do it all the time by his own good works and his own good efforts. He does the little scale thing. If enough of my good works outweigh my bad, somehow God will reward me with heaven. The problem with that whole system is it doesn't deal with sin. Sin has never been dealt with. And sin must be punished. I think about it for myself. For me, being brought up Jewish, I thought it was my own Jewish heritage. And then God would somehow wipe out all the wrong thinking I had, the foul mouth and all the wrong behavior, that somehow because I was one of God's chosen people, all of that is wiped out. But that is not the way it is. God must punish sin. And man tries as best as he can to try to reach up to God, and he cannot do it. And since there was no way that man could reach up to God, God came down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Right after sin entered into the world, God communicated his answer. Remember, I mentioned about in the garden and how that when man sinned, God pronounced then judgment on man. There was going to be judgment that he was going to have to work hard and that there was going to be difficulty in his work. The woman was going to experience pain in childbirth. For the serpent, who was an upright being, was going to be reduced to his belly. And then all of them, Adam and his wife, Eve, were going to be kicked out of the garden. And God used a temporary system for the covering of sin. God killed an animal and used the covering of those skins around Adam and his wife to cover them because of their sin. And he promised in Genesis 3:15 that there was going to be one that was going to be born that would permanently destroy Satan, sin, and death. And this one that was promised there in Genesis 3:15 was promised in the prophets. He is called the Messiah, the Anointed One. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he's called the Prince of Peace. We just sang about that. The one who is going to eliminate the hostility that God had toward man. In Isaiah 53, spoke of his sufferings for our sins in order that we may have peace with God. And when Jesus is born, the shepherds are visited by the angel of the Lord and announce to them a Savior. Not one who is delivering them from political oppression because they were being oppressed by the Romans, but delivered from spiritual oppression because of their sin. And he was called the Christ, the Savior. And this was going to be great news. And then a multitude of angels praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest," because peace with God was now going to be available. And this peace was not just because Christ was born. We celebrate the birth of Christ, and it's a big deal, and it's a big deal here at Fourth. But if that's all Jesus Christ did was just come to the earth and be born, we would not have peace. We have peace because of what Christ came to do. Jesus Christ was born to die. He was born to save his people from their sins, to end the hostility that was between God and man. And he did this by going to the cross. I mentioned there in Genesis 3 about an animal that was shed. Jesus came to be our sacrificial lamb. In the Old Testament system, they had the whole sacrificial system of animals that were given, that animals had to die in the place of other people for a temporary covering of their sin. They had what was called the Day of Atonement, where a high priest would go into the most holy place, offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. When Jesus came, he came to be our once for all sacrifice. That he came to be our sacrificial lamb. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, sinners bound for hell, sinners that had to have our sins paid for, Christ died for us. He died in our place. He literally took our punishment that we deserved. There's a story told of a brother and sister going to a camp. And when they were at this camp, they went for a walk and sat down on a rock. And unbeknowing to both of them, a rattlesnake came and bit the sister in the leg. Well, the boy, understanding what was going on, being bit by a rattlesnake, he went over to her and he sucked the venom out of her leg, spit it on the ground. What he didn't realize is that he had a sore in his mouth. And that venom went into that sore. And he died. And because he died, his sister lived. In a much greater picture, Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He died in our place. He took the punishment that you and I deserved, and he took it upon himself. And that's why when Jesus is on the cross and he yells out these words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What was taking place at that point while Christ was on that Roman cross is that all the sins of all of mankind were placed upon himself. And because God is holy and cannot look on sin, he could not look even on his own son on the cross. He had to turn away from him. And in John 19 and verse 30, after Jesus spends that time on the cross and the debt of everything, of all of our sin had been paid, Jesus said, "It is finished." What he meant by that was that the sin debt that you and I owe had been completely taken care of. Then Jesus died. He was put into a tomb. And as was appropriate with other sacrifices, the question was, would God accept Jesus' sacrifice? And God did. And he did, and he showed it by raising up Jesus the third day. God raised Jesus up, meaning that he accepted what Christ did on your behalf and my behalf. And this meant that peace was made available. God's anger that was supposed to be toward us was turned to his son. But we don't experience peace by just simply knowing that. We have to personally place our trust and our confidence in Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith is simple trust, transferring trust from what we've been trusting in. Some of trusting in lots of different things. Their religious heritage, going to church, being a good person. For me, having a bar mitzvah, some a confirmation, some a baptism. It has to be transferred from whatever we were trusting in to completely upon Jesus Christ. And when a person places his complete trust, confidence, reliance upon Christ's work on the cross and his resurrection, they have peace with God. God is no longer at war with them, but they have peace with God. This morning we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. We are celebrating peace with God. That God made that peace available to us through Jesus Christ. The bread and the juice are representatives of Christ's body and of his blood. And it is a picture and a remembrance to us of what Christ has done for us. Now, there are some blessings of having peace with God. And sometimes these concepts are very big, and I want to hopefully just explain them very briefly to you. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 4, I just want to briefly mention some of these different things, and they have them down on your outline there, of just some wonderful blessings and truths that there are of what we celebrate this morning when we think of having peace with God. The first blessing of having peace with God is justification. Justification. This is where God declares you righteous. God sees you no longer as a sinner, but as Jesus Christ the righteous. When God looks at me, because of my Jewish heritage, but because of my personal trust in Christ alone as a 17-year-old boy, God doesn't see Dave Levy the sinner. He sees Jesus Christ the righteous. This is a legal term, which literally means not guilty. Remember those 70,000 sins? Standing before that judge, when we put our trust in Christ, placed over our account is not guilty. That is a blessing that we have. Look what it says in Romans 4 and verse 25. It's speaking of Jesus Christ who spoke about in verse 24. I'm jumping back to verse 24. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, because of our sin, and was raised because of our justification, because of us being declared righteous. A second blessing that we have of having made peace with God is regeneration. Regeneration. This is where God makes you into a new person, that you are made alive to God. In the ABF hour, we're studying the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, there's lots of different word pictures and analogies and parables that are used to describe what God is doing. And one of those pictures is a very strange one. It's a set of bones. And maybe some of you have heard the little song that goes with that, the them bones, them dry bones. And the picture is of these bones that are out there, and God takes these dry, dead bones and He puts life into them. And they become alive. That is the picture of what happens when we place our trust in Jesus Christ and peace with God has been established, is that we were once dead and we are now made alive. That was the same picture what has taken place with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. He must be born from above. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." A third blessing that we have of having made peace with God is forgiveness. Forgiveness, where God forgives all of our sin, past, present, and future, and He holds them, and He no longer holds them against us. If we can picture how many sins that we have done, it's almost impossible for us to think about. In Matthew 18, Jesus gives the parable of the man who owed millions. You figure the figure that you need in your mind. Figure a figure that is so large that you could never repay it in 1,000 lifetimes. That is the amount of sin that we have. We will never be able to pay, no matter how hard we work, we would never be able to pay for our own sin. And that's why Jesus did it for us, because we could not do it. And that's where He says in John 19:30, "It is finished. The debt has been paid. All of our sins have been forgiven." And actually in Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made you alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses." All of our sins have been forgiven. A fourth blessing that we have of having made peace with God is reconciliation. Where God is no longer at war with us, but He is now our friend. The relationship is no longer strained, but harmonious. There is a complete change in relationship. Colossians 1:22 says, "In the body of His flesh, of Jesus' flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in God's sight." This is what takes place when we make peace with God. A fifth blessing of peace with God is adoption. God is our Heavenly Father. We are a part of His family, and He will then take care of us and love us as one of His children, and that we are then the recipients of the inheritance of the riches of God in Christ Jesus. It's actually Ephesians 1:5 that says, "Having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, to the good pleasure of His will." And then a sixth blessing that I listed for you there is an eternal relationship. It's not a temporary relationship, but an eternal relationship. You have a relationship with God. Once you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've made peace with God, you have an eternal relationship that begins in this life and continues on. And that God is with you always. Romans 5:1-2 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." If we are going to have internal peace, it first has to start with peace with God. And that's what we are celebrating this morning with the table. The second kind of peace, and I'm just going to briefly mention it, and I will take more time in a coming message to further expand this whole idea of peace with others. But once we have made peace with God, God wants us to be at peace with others. After he has given us his peace, Jesus enables us to mirror his peace to others. On the basis of God's peace with us, that God declares us righteous, we need to view other people, other believers, as righteous. As God made us into a new person, God is wanting to work in somebody else and making them into a new person. God forgave us all of our sin. We, in turn, are to be forgiving toward others. God is no longer at war with us because of Christ. We are no longer to be at war with others. God has adopted us into his family. We are, in turn, are to adopt others into his family as well. We are to make every effort to be at peace. If we had today, as you walked into the building, we had a metal detector. We know what metal detectors are for, to see if anybody has any weapons on them they shouldn't have. But let's say this metal detector is not for weapons, but it is for strained or non-peaceful or divided relationships. And somehow you walk through that detector and it detects whether you have an improper relationship with another believer or an improper relationship with an unbeliever. And conflicts are not resolved. And we'd say as you would walk through there, okay, please step to the right. Your right, my left. And we'll have somebody help you. And we say, well, that's ridiculous. There's no way that you could have something like that. Well, the reality is there is something that is like that. And that something is someone. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes it very clear through his holy word that we are not to have strained relationships, that we are to be at peace with one another. Actually, Jesus makes it really clear that we are to even stop our own worship and make sure that our relationship with our brother or sister is right. And that's really what the table is about as well. The table is about our peace with God, but the table is also about our relationships to those around us, our spouse, our children, the fellow believers that sit close to us, our neighbors, our co-workers. We are to be at peace with others. And so when we come together, we are celebrating the fact that we have peace with God and we have peace with one another. What does peace with others look like? I will briefly give those points to you. And again, I will further expand these points in a coming message. Stay tuned. Number one, what does peace look like? It looks like glorifying God. Instead of focusing on ourselves, we focus in on pleasing and honoring God when we get ourselves in a conflict situation. And we've all been in those conflict situations. We need to seek to honor and please God. A second step of what it looks like to have peace with others is getting the log out of our own eye. Very easy in a conflict to put all the blame on everybody else. Jesus puts the emphasis. We take the log out of our own eye in Matthew 7 before we can see clearly to point the speck out that is in our brother's eye. If we are going to have peaceful relationships, we need to get the log out of our own eye. The third step would be gently restore. After we have dealt with our sins, seeking to glorify God and how we deal with a conflict with one another, that we gently restore. We personally and graciously talk with those who have sinned and try to help them deal with their sin, not condemning them, but desiring to restore them. That's what Galatians 6 is all about. And then the fourth step is to go and be reconciled. Pursue that relationship, making every effort, as Ephesians 4 tells us, that we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavor means to strive earnestly, to make every effort. It's like a gladiator who is fighting for his life. How does he fight? With everything he possibly has. How should we in turn be keeping the unity of the Spirit within the body of Fourth Baptist Church? With everything we absolutely have. Sometimes we have strained relationships and we maybe put forth a little effort. Well, I tried to talk to them. But the scripture puts great emphasis that we put all of our effort into it. And when we do that, we can seek to be reconciled with our brother. This morning we have focused on living at peace. We all desire to live peaceful lives. We live relaxed lives, but this inner peace can be like chasing after the wind. We experience inner peace when we have experienced peace with God, number one, and peace with others. Peace with God occurs when we place a trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And peace with others occurs when we mirror the peace that we have received from Christ to others. God desires for all of us to live at peace. The question is, where are you? Are you living at peace?